Art, I know why the Lord laid that on your heart. When I was studying this passage this week, and I kept reading that about the hearing of faith, I didn't know which psalm it was, but those first two verses kept coming to my mind. This is what the hearing of faith is. It's to make known His deeds among the people. It's His works. It's His faithfulness. It's to talk ye of all His wondrous works. We're hearing of His faithfulness. That's what our text is dealing with tonight. Let's go back now to Galatians 3, verse 1. Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Paul uses words here that have to do with the eye, with seeing. And he's doing this for a specific reason. He uses this word bewitched. And the Galatians, the Gentiles, called it the evil eye. And what they were referring to would be a snake who would use his eyes to charm his prey and put them into a trance and cause them not to be able to see clearly what he was about to do. And truly, it was the old serpent, the devil, who had bewitched these Galatians. The Lord's always wise to permit the devil to do the things he does. He can't do anything without God's permission. But when God permits him to do as he did in this church, it's for God's glory and the good of his people. And you think about it, we wouldn't have the letter to the Galatians if God had permitted the devil to do this. And we're learning today, and they were learning in that day from Paul writing this. And can you imagine getting a letter from a pastor writing to you with this language? Oh, foolish New Jerseyans. Could you imagine that? I mean, that's pretty strong language. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? The old serpent had beguiled them, and he had turned their eye from Christ to the law, to their own works, to their brethren's works, away from Christ. That's his objective. And it was offensive and hurtful to Paul, because he said there, before your eyes, there he is speaking about this, the eye. They had been bewitched by the evil eye. And he said, and before your eyes, Christ, the person of Christ Jesus, has been evidently, clearly set forth, crucified among you. Christ is the truth. He's the truth. He said, you obey not the truth. And then he says, and before your eyes, Christ has been evidently set forth. Christ is the truth. He's the light of his people. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the gospel. The Lord Jesus is the gospel. He said, they said of John the Baptist, he came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Christ is the light. And to obey the truth is to submit to Christ, is to submit to him in faith for all, for everything. That's what faith does. Submit to him for all, for wisdom, for righteousness, for sanctification, for redemption, for all. That's obeying the truth. It's submitting to this one who is the righteousness of God. Paul said to the Pharisees, they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. That's a person. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Walking by faith, he's walking, looking to Christ, hearing of Christ's faithfulness, being taught by Christ, learning from Christ, learning of Christ through the preaching of his person and his works. That's walking by faith. And it's to do so with a single eye, with the eye single for Christ, looking upon Christ alone from the singleness of heart, with the heart set on Christ, the eye set on Christ, the eye of faith. And His light filling us as we look to Him. We see light. We see Him who is everything we need. He enlightens us concerning every path, every way, every work, everything we need. He's the light. We see what we need looking to Christ. And we see when we look to Him, He's our holiness who sanctifies us as well as our righteousness before the law. Go with me to Luke 11. And let me show you this here in verse 33. Here's why Paul was using these terms that have to do with seeing. You've been bewitched by the evil eye, and it's offensive because Christ has been set before your eyes, been preached clearly before you. Watch this. This is Christ speaking. He says in Luke 11, verse 33, He said, and if you go, let's read back up in verse 29. Verse 28. He says, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Paul said, you've not obeyed the truth. You heard it. Christ was set forth before you, but you haven't obeyed it. You haven't kept it. The Lord said, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." They hear of Christ and they submit to Christ and they follow Christ. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. This is a generation that had the evil eye. This is a generation that was bewitched. This is an evil generation. They seek a sign. Remember, Christ is a stumbling block to the Jews because they seek a sign. They're looking for works of the law. They're looking for something you do. Just what most in our day are looking for. And he said, there'll be no sign given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so also shall the Son of Man be to this generation. Christ is the one we look upon. He's the truth. He's the light. Now look down at verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. What is the church? We're the candlestick. The church is a candlestick. Well, who's the light? Christ is the light. He's the light we preach. God's given us the light, not to try to tone down the gospel and hide Christ the light from people, but to declare Him boldly, clearly, plainly before all, just like you'd set a candle out on a candlestick to give light. And he says, look at this now. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when that eye is single, and when this comes to faith, when your eye is single for Christ, thy whole body also is full of light. Looking to Christ, He sanctifies us. That's what He fills you with light. He gives you light. He's the holiness who sanctifies. Christ did. That's why it's foolish for people to try to act like they know God and believe Christ when they run contrary and just go on in that, because Christ is the light. This room has light because it's filled up with light. It's when the light comes on, darkness is not there. And if our eyes single for Christ, we're going to be full of light. He's going to sanctify. And look here. But when thine eye is evil, when you're bewitched, when you have the evil eye, you turn from Christ to the law, turn from Christ to your sinful flesh or your brother's sinful flesh or your self-righteousness or theirs or whatever. When you turn from Christ to that, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. This bewitching in Galatia, this is what Paul was afraid of in all the churches. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. See, they turned from Christ the light. And they turn back to themselves, they turn back to their works, they turn back to their law-keeping. And that's what Paul was afraid of, that's what he feared for all the churches. He said in 2 Corinthians 11:2, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, to have our eye single for Christ our husband alone. that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity, the singleness that is in Christ. From having your eyes set on one single object, Christ alone. And that's what was happening at Galatians. Now here's a test, brethren. If what we hear, mark this down, if what we hear from the pulpit or whispered to us in private, if it turns us to Christ from this sinful flesh, if it turns us from your flesh and from your brethren's flesh, turns you to Christ, if it turns us from trusting our works to rest in Christ, if it's turning us from tearing down with the letter of the word, the letter of the law, to building up in Christ, in faith that's in Christ, if that's what it is, then we're hearing the truth. We're hearing the light. And it's the Lord uses that to turn our eye to make us single for Christ. But the devil bewitching is trying to do the opposite. If it does the opposite, if it turns me from Christ to my flesh, mine or yours, mine or my brethren, if it turns me from Christ to me, from Christ to my works, from Christ to some necessity that I must do, from Christ building up in Christ to tearing down with the word, that's the devil. That's what Paul was fearful of. That's why he said, he was warned them about biting and devouring. That's what always happens where the law is preached, where works are preached, where that spirit of legalism enters in. They bite and they devour one another. And that's what Christ keeps his people from. Now, here's my point to you. Christ is salvation. He's salvation. He's the salvation of his people in every way. Obedience is believing on Christ alone, learning from Christ alone, following Christ alone through the hearing of his faithfulness, through the hearing of the gospel of Christ. So Paul's going to illustrate this with a few questions. And he makes it so simple. Look here, how did we begin? How did we begin? Verse 2, this only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? To receive the Spirit is to be given the Holy Spirit of God from God into these dead sinners, to be given the Spirit of God. We were dead in sins. Were we regenerated and given life by the Holy Spirit by something we did? Did you hear the preaching of the works of the law and that's what the Lord sent the Spirit through and regenerated you? Was it something you had to do? People are always being told, accept Jesus, that's how you're born again, or do A, B, or C, and this is how you're born again. How did you receive the Spirit of God? How were you born again? We were dead. We couldn't do anything. We were totally dead in sins. Was it by the hearing of the faith of Christ? Was it hearing the gospel of Christ that he regenerated you? The hearing of faith is the hearing of Christ's faithfulness. God the Father chose his Son and he sent him to make his people righteous and holy. He sent Christ to make us righteous and holy. Not just righteous, holy as well. He's righteousness and sanctification. He made us righteous by his blood on the cross. He justified us, put away our sin, made us righteous, and he sanctifies us inwardly through the Spirit of God, through the hearing of what he did on the cross, through the hearing that he is all our completion. It's that gospel through which he sends the Spirit, and he's made sanctification unto us as well as righteousness unto us. That's why he made this statement. He said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. That's a unique statement. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the truth that we hear preached. He's the gospel we hear preached. And what he did is he sanctified himself, holy, separate from sinners, so that he would be fit to go to Calvary, bear the sin and curse of his people, justify us from all our sins, make us the righteousness of God in him, fulfill the law perfectly for us, redeem us from it, take us from it, so that as that message is preached, and he did it from a holy heart, so that he is our righteousness and our sanctification. He redeemed us by his blood so that he's our redemption. And he sanctified himself and did that so that as his ministers preach this truth, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. He said, I sanctify myself that they may be sanctified through the truth. And as the truth is preached of how Christ is the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Faithful One, as that message is preached, he sends forth the Holy Spirit and gives you a new, pure, holy heart, a new spirit. He does that. He does that and gives you a faith to obey the truth. When he comes, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he cast down all our imaginations. We had all these imaginations about God and about how he saves. He cast down our imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against God, he brought that down in us, and he did it through the knowledge of God, showing us Christ, giving us a knowledge of Christ, a knowledge of God. And as he did that, brethren, he made Christ's wisdom to us, so that he brought every thought into captivity. And we had all these wild thoughts in our flesh roaming around. He put a new man in us, and he brought our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? It means that as he taught you this gospel, he began to teach you that obedience is, righteousness is not by your obedience to the law. It's not by your works. It's by the obedience of Christ. That's the obedience, Paul said. You ceased obeying the truth. You're not trusting the obedience of Christ. You've turned back now to your flesh and to the law and to your works to add something. He gives us that mind of Christ. He makes us know that Galatians 2:16, he makes us know that a man's not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faithfulness of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He speaks into our hearts and he says, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And for the first time in our life, we find ourselves wanting to be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness, which is through the faith of Christ, through his obedience, that righteousness, which is of God by faith, by what he's done for us. Now, that's how we began. How did we begin? How were you regenerated? If a man says, well, I was regenerated because I did A, B, and C, he hadn't been regenerated. It's not by the works that we do that we're regenerated. It's by the hearing of Christ's faithfulness. Because God has to do it. And he's the only one that can do it. And he only does it through the hearing that exalts Christ. That's why we preach Christ when we come in here, because we constantly need this work done in us. We constantly need our faith strengthened and grown. And this is how he continues to do it. He continually reminds you that Christ is all your acceptance with God. And that's how our faith is strengthened. So secondly, look at this. How do we grow to maturity? How do we grow to maturity? He says in verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect? Are you now made mature by the flesh? See, he answered the first question with the second question. How did you begin? You began by the Spirit. You began by the hearing of faith. Well, having begun that way, are you now made mature by the flesh? Now, this is something we need to pay attention to here. Being made perfect by the flesh. See, the Judaizers in their day haven't changed in our day. They're exactly the same in our day as they were in their day. The Judaizers weren't denying justification by Christ through faith in Him. They weren't blatantly denying that. They weren't denying that a man's justified by Christ's works, and He gives you faith and you believe on Him, and that's how you made the righteousness of God, through faith in Him. They didn't blatantly deny that. They were telling believers that after you've come to faith in Christ, now you have to live under the law. You have to live in obedience to the law given at Sinai, or you can't be saved. And that's what's being preached by many in our day. Many who sound very close to the truth on everything else preach this doctrine, and it just negates everything else. To deny one work that belongs to Christ is to deny every work that belongs to Christ. Most teach that sanctification, holiness, involves living under the law. In some form or another, they make sanctification, they make holiness to be a co-effort between the sinner and Christ by sending you back to the law. But to be made holy and to grow in that state of holiness has nothing to do with our works. It doesn't have to do with our works. It's not a matter of keeping the law. It's to be given a pure heart. That's holiness. To be made a new creation. That's holiness. To be made given a new nature, a new spirit. That's sanctification. And to be grown is to be grown in grace. The gift of faith is a grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We're His workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, faith being one of those, which God has before ordained. All His people shall walk in faith and love and all the works He's ordained. Christ, that you grow in grace, you grow in faith, you grow in love, you grow in patience and temperance, self-control, you grow in long-suffering, you grow in kindness, forgiveness, all the grace of God, we grow in that. Christ is the sanctification of His people. He's the holiness in the heart of His people. And it's He who grows us. Growth in grace is by Christ growing us more in knowledge of how He is our all. That's how you grow in grace. Growth in grace is growing in knowledge of Christ in how that He is all. And He's the one that grows you in grace, and He's the one that grows you in knowledge. And it's through hearing of Him. If I'm going to grow in knowledge of Him and how He's all, I got to hear Him preached. And that's how He's going to grow us in grace. Most teach that sanctification is growing more and more holy and less sinful. And then you eventually become right and you can enter heaven. And here's one of the verses they use to preach that. Mark 4:28. The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. You get the picture of a corn plant. A corn seed's planted, and from it comes the blade, just a little tender plant. And then it grows up, and you see the ears start coming out, and then it grows up, and you have the full corn. And they call that growth in holiness until you grow more and more and more holy, and you're fit for heaven. But corn seed makes corn. Like begets like. And that blade that comes out of that ground does not become more corn as it grows. It's corn. From the seed that made it, it is what the seed is. It's corn when it comes out of there. It grows as corn, but it don't become more corn than it is. It's corn. And we don't become more holy. Christ is our holiness. And by Christ The Father has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He that's born after the flesh is flesh. He that's born after the Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit. Like begets like. And so when we're born of Him, go to 1 Peter 1 and look at this. 1 Peter 1, verse 21. It says, by Christ, by Him, we believe in God. He's the one that does this. We believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, seeing you have purified your souls, there's holiness right there. That's to be sanctified, to have a pure soul, a pure Holy Spirit. How'd you do it? In obeying the truth. Paul said, you've turned from obeying the truth. Most people in our day would have commended the Galatians because they were turning to the law and trying to compel others to keep the law. And most in our day say, no, that's obeying the truth. Paul said, you've turned from obeying the truth. He said, we didn't give in to these men that wanted to circumcise Titus so that the truth might continue with you. Well, obeying the gospel, you submitted to Christ through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, true love of the brethren. So see that you love one another with a pure heart, with a holy heart fervently. Now how did we do this? How were we born? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Incorruptible. Born of seed that can't be corrupted. What do you think that's going to create? If like begets like, what do you think an incorruptible seed is going to make? It's by the word of God, that's the incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. If you're born of the word of God, you're going to live and abide forever. That means there can't be any sin there. There's got to be holiness there if you're going to live and abide forever. Now look, the flesh is grass. All the glory of man's at the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower thereof falleth away. But this word of the Lord, by which we're born again, it endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel's preached unto you, the hearing of faith. Wherefore, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And as newborn babes, as a new baby born inside a believer that's undergone this. And as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Paul's saying, the same milk of the word by which you've begun. That's how you're going to grow. It never ceases being Christ. We learn more and more of Christ. But as we grow from a newborn baby, though our flesh from Adam's only sin, though it's withering and it's going back to the dust, and it must, there's a new inward man which is of God, which is holy, which is incorruptible by the incorruptible seed. Christ the Word is formed in us, and we're born of the Spirit, and that new man is Spirit. That's why John said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, none of this is of us. We're not talking about anything to do with our flesh. This old man is still sin. The new man is righteous and holy after Christ's image that created him. Ephesians 4:22 says, put off the former conversation, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You know what those deceitful lusts are? The old man wants to make some fig leaves and make ourselves righteous and holy and accepted of God by our works. That's the lust of this flesh. Paul said, put him off. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, entirely new nature, entirely a new spirit, which is after God. Created after God in His image. Created in righteousness and true holiness, in the righteousness and true holiness of Christ. And Paul said in Colossians, in that new man, Christ is all and in all. And when John said you can't sin, this is the number one thing he's saying. In that new man, a believer can't stop looking to Christ as all and in all. You can't stop believing Christ is all in you. You can't. He won't let you. He won't let you. Brethren, our sinful flesh is sinful flesh. That's why Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. But a born-again believer has a new holy man created of God. While our sin nature is just withering grass and we're dying daily and it's going to return to the dust, it's not getting more holy. It's not getting less sinful. And the more holy you are, the more you grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, the more light He gives you, the more you see your flesh is not getting less sinful. The more you see you're more sinful, you see yourself. If you've grown in grace, in faith in Christ, and knowledge of Christ, you see yourself more sinful today than when you first believed. And if I don't see myself that way, I'm not growing in grace, because that is how He grows you in grace. And He's the holiness of that new man, the righteousness of that new man. So He grows us in grace by growing us in knowledge of Him. Christ does this. Now let me explain what I'm saying here. He gave us faith. He gave us the gift of faith. That's a grace He gave you in the beginning, faith in Christ. But He's going to grow you in faith. You're going to grow in faith in Him. Not by hearing of works. Not by hearing of what you're supposed to be doing to add to something He's done. That's not how He's going to grow you in faith. He's going to make you do some good works, but that's not how He's going to grow you in faith. He grows us in the knowledge of Him. We continually hear of His person and His works. That's the bread by which we grow. It's continually being reminded, I'm complete in Him. It's continually being reminded, as He is right now at God's right hand, so are we in this world, brethren. It's being reminded that our life is at God's right hand. We're accepted of God, and that won't change. And as He teaches you this in your heart, He grows you in the grace of faith as He gives you an increase of knowledge of how accepted you are in Him. He grows us in love to one another. That's a grace He grows you in. Now understand, we're not getting holier. The only place that term is used in reference to a believer as a comparative term is when God said, the Pharisees say, stand over there, come not near me, I'm holier than thou. And God said, they stink in my nose. That's the only place you're going to find holiness used in a relative sense like that. You either are holy or you're not holy. But you're holy if he's formed in you. But as you grow, you're going to grow in faith. You're going to grow in love. And how do we grow in love? He shows us more and more of how Christ loved us. That's how you grow in love. He shows you the knowledge of how He loved us. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Well, let me go back to the law to see my rule of life on how to love one another. No, He gave it to us. He said, as I have loved you. There's your rule. There's your example. That's how you learn how to love your brethren. All we have to do is love each other like Christ loved us. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us. An offering and a sweet smelling savor to God. Herein is love. Now wait a minute. Here's how we learn how to love. Remember this. This is how He loved us. Herein is love. Not that we love God. We're not just talking about when my brother's, oh, he showered me with love and who couldn't love him. No. We're talking about when he's not lovable. Because we weren't lovable. We didn't love him. But He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God, after that manner, loved us, we also ought to love one another after that manner. That's how. We don't learn this from the law, do we? You grow in love by looking to Christ. He said, if we love one another, here's why. God dwelleth in us. And our love is grown. His love's grown in us. That's how we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because of the Spirit He's given to us. He grows us to esteem our brethren better than ourselves and to look on the needs of our brethren rather than just looking on our own needs. How does He do that? Paul said in Philippians 2, He grows you in the knowledge of this. how that he made himself of no reputation and took the form of a servant and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. If I see him doing that for me, a worm, you know what that's going to do? That's going to make me think less of myself. Don't you see your brethren as being better than you? Do you? I hope you do. I think you do. God's people do. I see my brethren do things and I think, man, that brother's so faithful. You esteem you. How do you do that? You see him making himself of no reputation and becoming a servant and looking on the things that you needed for you. That's growing in that grace. He grows us in forgiveness, not by hearing the works of the law. You're not going to learn how to forgive by going back to the law. It's the hearing of faith. It's hearing and growing in the knowledge of how God has forgiven us for Christ's sake and how he does it continually. This is how he grows us to forbear one another and forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, here's the rule right here. Even as Christ forgave you, so do also ye. That's how we grow in the grace of forgiveness. By growing in knowledge of how he's forgiven me. What could a brother possibly do to me that I couldn't forgive? All I got to do is think about how he's forgiven me. Think of what all myself has done and he forgave me. That ought to make me be able to forgive anybody if I know he forgave me. He grows you to be a cheerful giver. How does he grow you to be generous? How does he grow you that? You going to learn that from the law? Christoph asked me Sunday. I get so encouraged by him. He comes to me and he goes, he read in Exodus 35, it said, as many as be willing to make a willing offering. And he said, look at that. He said, so why do people put a law on you and tell you you got to tithe? You got to tithe. Well, that law was a tax. You had to do it. But how are we made to be cheerful givers? How are we made willing to be cheerful in our giving and bountiful in our giving? It grows you in the knowledge of the grace of our Lord Jesus. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And didn't he make us rich? Think how rich he made us. But we grow in grace and knowledge of him, but we're already holy. Christ is our fitness for heaven right now. We're not trying to reach a bar that will make us fit now we can go into glory. We have that holiness. The sanctified thief on the cross was holy with his hands and his feet nailed to the cross. Sanctified just a little while before he went into glory. And he was as holy as the oldest believer that ever died. Because our holiness is not of us. It's Christ. Our meekness, our fitness, it can't be of us. It's got to be of him for him to get the glory. So here's the conclusion, and this is it. Verse 5, he, Christ, who filleth all in all, he therefore that ministereth you the Spirit and works miracles among you, regeneration, faith, love, growth in grace and knowledge of him, he that works these miracles, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of his faithfulness? Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. He couldn't have preached law to Abraham, could he? The law wasn't given for 430 years later. He couldn't have preached law to Abraham. How did Abraham, how was he born and how did he grow in grace? How did he walk? Hearing of Christ's faithfulness. He said, in thee, in Christ, Christ's going to come and bless all mine elect scattered in every nation in this world. And Abraham looked to him. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. He walked by faith, just like he was saved by the same hearing of Christ and his works, like every other sinner, and he walked by faith and was grown the same way in grace by the hearing of Christ. All right, brethren, I pray the Lord to bless that. That's why we preach Christ and him crucified. All right, Brother Art.